The following program is for entertainment purposes only. It is not medical, psychological, or psychiatric advice. For any of those, contact your doctor. Premonitions. Are they a thing? Or are they something out of science fiction? We're going to talk about that today on Dream Meetings as we hear several stories of people having premonitions of work, of spooky houses, of technology that didn't exist when the dream occurred. It's a very interesting episode as we examine our minds and the world of premonitions in dreams today on Dream Meetings. 1-800-606-7193 is our phone number at Dream Meetings. Thank you, guys. If you've called in a story or written in a story, you can write them in on our website, which is dreamingradio.com, D-R-E-A-M-I-N-G, radio.com. And be sure to press subscribe on whatever platform it is you're listening to us, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever it may be. That will greatly help us grow this program. Other folks find us when you guys press subscribe because it helps us grow in those rankings. So just that little act of kindness and pressing subscribe does so much for the show. You have no idea from this end how much that means to us. So please do that if you enjoy the program. Also, a comment, if you don't mind, would also help us as well to get the word out and help us get this thing off the ground as we embark on, I believe we're on episode 9, I think, where it's about where we're at now. With Dream Meetings. I'm excited about that. Again, our phone number is 1-800-606-7193 to share your dream with us, chat about it on the air. Let's go to a call. Hi, you are on Dream Meetings.
Good morning. Hello, Tony. It is Heather. I've shared things before on the haunted side of things. And now I'd like to share a couple of things on the dreaming side of things. And this is a tough one because no one, including my very wonderful family, believe me when I tell them this story. And you might find it interesting because you know the people who are in my dreams, or at least or this one dream, that actually came to me a couple of times. This happened, I would probably say, close to maybe 19 years ago. And the reason I know the timeline is I've had what I call premonition dreams before. People can experience deja vu, and people can say, oh, I've been here before, I've dreamt of this place before. And this seems to be very deja vu, but much more powerful. I tend to dream about things in the future in clumps or groups of time. It'll be kind of the same dream associated with the same feeling when I'm having this dream. But this particular dream happened one or two times, and it was about a year before we moved from the Chicago area up to the Fond du Lac, Wisconsin area. This was before we had no plans of moving to Wisconsin. We knew nobody in Wisconsin. We knew nothing in Wisconsin, again, about a year before. And I dreamt very vividly one night about a clock on a wall, about a computer screen, about a man who was heavy set with a beard. And in the same clump of dream, I dreamt about being in a very large room with floor-to-ceiling windows that, you know, stood many feet way up high in the sky. I mean, it was a big room with lots of banquet tables. My husband's a caterer. I'm in radio and catering. And I also dreamt in that same clump, that same dream, of walking up some stairs and being on the landing, and college students were walking up and down the staircase around us. Now, I had, again, never seen these places or knew of these places in this particular dream. About a year later, found out that my husband was getting transferred to Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. And I went out of the blue to audition for a radio job at a local radio station. I walked in the radio station. The first person to come around the corner was a gentleman by the name of Greg Owens, who was my bearded, heavy-set man in my dream. I ended up doing a radio show with this gentleman that you know, Tony. And one day during the show, I looked up at the wall, and I realized I was looking at the clock that I had seen, the room that I had seen, the wall that I had seen in my dream a year previous. Again, I had never been to this location. Almost simultaneously, my husband had received a different job offer to run his catering company out of the University of Wisconsin Fond du Lac campus, which had a big banquet hall, a big atrium area, big, huge floor-to-ceiling windows. And we have been there 17 years, and this has been our business, doing banquets and catering at that location. I was helping him cater one day, and we went to an existing building that was next to the main building on campus. And as I was walking across, I hit a stairwell that we had to go up. I realized that stairwell was the one that was in my dream. The college students in my dream were, of course, the college students at the UW. And these things came to me. And as I mentioned these to my husband, of course, his was, well, you're just seeing it again. You think you dreamt about it, but I know that I dreamt very, very clearly about all those things. So my question would be, is this, if I'm having dreams of the future that I haven't known about and they come true, is everything predestined? Is everything spelled out? It's really always haunted me. It's really always made me wonder about how the mind works, how our existence works. If I'm seeing things in the future that haven't happened yet, then we get into a whole Dr. Whoian thing, which really freaks me out. And I've had a couple of dreams that I'm not quite ready to share yet that I see as premonition dreams that have me freaked out. That's why I don't want to share them, and I will in the future. I want to take you to one other thing that happened to me, and I remember it very vividly. This was back in the 70s. I was probably 8 or 9 years old. Night terrors are not common, but they can happen to children. And I remember that I was having a dream. I was in my bedroom. I was having a dream, and it was like a night terror. And in my dream, there was a series of numbers and words, and it was very, very busy in front of me, and it caused me to become very, very agitated, very, very upset. Again, this had to be 1970, maybe 74, 73, and I woke up screaming. I remember my father came in, calmed me down, but I always remember that dream being very vivid and what I was looking at. And about 2 years ago, I was sitting in the studio, and I looked at the screen, and I realized that what I had seen in that dream that freaked me out so badly when I was 7 or 8 years old, back in the early 70s, was the program that I am currently using at the station on the screen. It is a program that you know very well, how you can see all the various names of the artists and the numbers. And I became very, very anxious, and it took me right back to that dream back some 44 years ago. So was I having a precognitive or something of the future that when I was in this position in my life, in front of this screen and these numbers and these letters and these names, was I seeing that when I was a little girl? And will something very stressful or very hard be happening in my life, which it is now actually, when I have this program in my life? Does that make sense? I know I'm all over the place, but again, it's the ability to possibly see the future in your dream and how incredibly complex the brain is. And what does that say about destiny, about the paths that we take and the choices we make to lead to something that you've dreamed about in the past? That's my story. And I'll be listening for your opinions. Thanks so much, guys.
Lots of things to talk about from that experience. And Heather, thank you for calling in and sharing your experiences. Heather is someone who I worked with years ago. It's probably been, we're looking at probably about 17 years ago. It was when we worked together in the late 90s at that radio station in my hometown in Wisconsin. And I remember Heather's first day. I actually do. I remember meeting her, and I remember having a long conversation with her. I was probably, 16 or so at the time, right around there. And she was just the nicest person to come on at radio. And when you work at a radio station, it seems there's like either like one of two types of people. There's either really just genuinely good, nice people that you will remain friends with forever, like Heather. And then there's the type that you're like, you avoid seeing these people by avoiding the cities they live in, just out of fear that you may run into them at the gas station or something. Heather is certainly one of those people that I love to go and visit with, because she's always been so pleasant and so interesting and so, so nice. She was kind of like a radio mom to me for a while. When we were, when I was that young and we were working together at that station. Anyway, that's, a little bit about the background of how I know Heather. We don't speak that much on a regular basis, but she certainly calls into the show. So that's kind of how we've been communicating the last several years. Every once in a while I do run into her when I'm back home, if I have time to visit the station. But anyway, on those dreams, what I have to say is, you know, this is kind of going into the realm of the paranormal, because we're talking about something here where it's not just what does the dream mean. We're talking about what did it hold and why did you have it so far ahead of these events happening. Now, obviously, there's no way you could have accidentally been into one of these locations before you had the dream. Number one, the computer thing at the end that didn't even exist, and number two, the radio station as well. Depending on when you had it and the time that you started at that radio station, that building, that room, all that may not have existed either, and you know for a fact you weren't there. So, I mean, sometimes I've had dreams like that where I've had the deja vu thing where I'm in a location or something and I go, gosh, I feel like I've been here before. I've looked like right at that clock or whatever item is in the room, and I just know that I've been there. And then I'd ask, this primarily when I was younger, my parents, you know, have I been here before? And the answer was, well, I think we brought you here when you were in your car carrier as a child, as a baby, but there's no way you'd remember that. And I think sometimes we can pick up on those things, but that is certainly not what I think is the case here. This is where I have to look at your dream and those experiences. And you have to say, okay, number one, we have to kind of accept that these things happen. But the question is, what does it mean? What does it mean? Is it something where you are on a path to, you know, your right path, if you will? I mean, when you were having these dreams, was it something, some reason, somehow something is giving you this sign that this is when you're hitting these places, these milestones, these experiences, really? Because sometimes, you know, just looking up at the clock and having the realization isn't necessarily a milestone moment. But is it one of those things where, you know, it's a sign that you're in the right place in time? And going back to the, is everything predestined? Is everything pretty much just going to happen, whether you like it or not? And every once in a while, we get a glimpse in it through our dreams. I don't know the answer to that. I would have to venture to say no, that we're in control of these things. And maybe sometimes dreams can be a warning. I know we've gotten stories on our ghost show of people who've had dreams where everything was going very similar, or they have a dream where something goes very bad. And then suddenly they find themselves in that setting and they just know, oh my God, the lawnmower in the back of that trailer in the car in front of me is going to fall off. It's going to cause us to veer off the road and crash and I'm going to die. But when the event happens in reality, they have somehow the knowledge of this, avoid the accident. The lawnmower falls off, but the accident is avoided, and no one is dead at the end. So I have to say, sometimes it's warnings, and sometimes it's, I think, verification. I think sometimes, for whatever reason, and somehow, sometimes we have these glimpses. Maybe there's a track in our mind where this is already there and a majority of it is already there and we are completely unaware of it, but somehow we're able to tap into that film strip of our life in the future. And that's it. It's just a quick glimpse and you don't know why you got it. But very interesting. And I could see, especially that last part where you had the glimpse of the computer screen that you're looking at every day, especially in the 70s. Oh, that'd be terrifying. What the hell are you looking at? You know, it'd be just as crazy as anything of, you know, seeing iPhones or whatever device that's completely normal to our everyday life today, but somehow seeing it in a perspective and a time frame that these things were inconceivable. That could be a scary thing. It truly, truly could, especially as a child. Thank you, Heather, again for calling in. We do greatly appreciate that. Love hearing from you. Our phone number is 1-800-606-7193, 1-800-606-7193, to share your dream with us. Of course, you can write in on our website as well, dreamingradio.com. Continuing on, got a letter in here. It's an anonymous letter. It says, I don't recall what or if anything happened prior to this, but what I remember, there was this boy who looked to be around 17 that I've never seen before, sitting in a passenger seat of a car, looked very sad and kind of upset, and it was directed towards me. I know this because I was feeling the same extreme sadness and sorrow. We were deeply staring at each other while the car drove off. After the car drove off, I felt this deep, deep feeling of a strong love ripped apart, and my heart hurt watching him leave. My heart was so sad to see him go that in real life, for several months after I had this dream, I could still feel that love and sorrow in my heart. I was sad knowing I probably would never see him again. And I haven't. Not in my dreams or in real life. I've never been one to recall my dreams when I wake up, so to remember this one for so long and still have the same feeling that I had in the dream for months after is very weird to me. I think of him driving away, get very sad, and literally feel my heart hurt. I should also mention I'm very sensitive to my emotions, but I'm not too sure why I continue to feel this love for this boy that was in my dream for several months. What was going on in your life at the time of the dream? Found out that I was a few weeks pregnant, which made me very sad because I knew as soon as I found out that I wasn't able to keep the baby due to financial reasons. I was in the middle of moving to a new place, finishing school, and trying to find a job so I could start making money to pay off all my debts, but this wasn't my decision. It was my boyfriend's, and it was a long, hard week of fighting and crying because there was no way I was on board with aborting my baby, but he really, really expressed that we're not ready for this step in our lives. I don't know how it works in America, but in Canada, if you're less than 8 weeks, you can get the baby exterminated is the word that was used, with prescription medication. And what you experience is basically a forced miscarriage. And if no one knows, this experience is extremely painful, and I wouldn't wish it upon anyone. So what questions do you have about this dream? Why did I feel this strong, and the strong love for this boy I've never seen, even several months after my dream? What did it represent in my life, and why can I remember it so vividly, but none of my other dreams? Thanks so much. P.S. I'm so thankful for the show. I've been in an extreme depression ever since, and I started listening to your podcasts. I became happier. No longer need my medication. For you guys have become my medication, and you get me through every single day with a smile on my face. I'm no longer stuck inside my own head thinking about the negative. I unfortunately have no ghost stories for you, though. Thank you, and have a good day, everyone. Thank you for writing in your story and sharing that with us. I know it must be an extremely painful thing to have to relive in your mind, and obviously it is, from everything you've shared with us. When it comes to what did the boy mean, what did the boy represent, I think it was part of your subconscious trying to come to a means and trying to let go of the pregnancy that you had at the time. And I think it was trying to work through it is really what it comes down to. And that's where I think it comes from. Especially the fact that you were already aware of this and these discussions were going on with your boyfriend at the time. So something very prominent, front and center. And when you find out you're pregnant or going to have a child, and people start immediately thinking about the future, about, well, what's going to happen? Is this, you know, what's this person going to be like if they're born, once they're born, and all that. And I say if they're born because miscarriage is a very, very common thing to happen. More common than I think most people realize. And I wish that was something that was taught in school a little bit better, quite honestly, at least in American schools. When you look at those stats, it's extremely, extremely high. And I don't want to go on a tangent there, but having experienced that ourselves, and then you do a little research and look at it, it's like, oh my God, this is that common? Why is everyone not aware of this, or at least a little more prepared, I guess? Anyway, that's a totally different subject, if you will. But anyway, you run those things through your mind of who's this person going to be, et cetera. And again, I think you are working through it in your mind. I really think that is all there is to that. It was trying to work through a very difficult time in your life. Now, I will say this. I have had dreams before, years ago when I was single, where I would dream I had met someone. And this is not comparing it to your dream at all, because we're talking about two totally different setups here. But in the same vein of having suddenly a weird emotional connection to someone that's in your dream that, as far as you know, does not exist. And then you wake up and the person is gone. I will say, I've never had it where it's drug on for weeks or months or anything like that. But I do recall, and it's very faint in my mind now because it's been so long, but I do recall, I don't know, it's probably 19, 20, somewhere around there, and having a dream of meeting this girl, it going really well. I mean, it's like literally months of the relationship played out in the dream in one night, quite honestly. And it didn't get into any sort of, graphic detail or sexual or anything in the dream. It was just more so like, wow, there's this really amazing emotional connection. And it was just really a positive feeling. It's like, wow, you know, I've really met a person. And then you wake up from the dream and it's gone. And I remember just being like, oh my God, that was a dream. In the dream, I didn't lose a person. There wasn't a breakup. There wasn't a tragedy. It was just, you woke up and it was over and you realized this person doesn't exist in the real world. So the idea of going out and actually trying to pursue a relationship with that person, kind of off the table, completely off the table, unless suddenly, you know, the thought runs through your mind at that point, well, maybe I'll be at the grocery store and I'm going to see this person or something and be like, hey, by the way, can you put the can of Pringles down for 1 second? I had this really weird dream and you were in it. And that's where they take the can of Pringles and, they assault you with it and call security. I do understand somewhat the weirdness of having suddenly emotional connections to something that don't exist in the real world. And then suddenly it's there in the dream. And then when you wake up, it is gone. It's a very weird feeling. Very, very bizarre. And sometimes you have to wonder if, you know, are you going to meet this, you know, this individual, this person someday, or when you have a dream like I had, at this point in my life, I couldn't even tell you what they look like or anything. I just recall having those emotions of the dream. And I'm happily married, so it's nothing I'd even worry about or seek out, but I do remember that. But in the case of your dream, I think it does go back to simply trying to work through the very, very tough emotions that you were going through at that time in your life. Thank you for writing in. The phone number here at Dream Meanings is 1-800-606-7193. You can call in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You leave your dream story there, and then we may play it back on a future episode of the program. 1-800-606-7193. Or you can also write it in on our website, which is dreamingradio.com. Dreamingradio.com. Okay, let's go to another letter. Jackie writes in. Hi there, my name's Jackie. Just turned 32 years old, July 21st. Have a very vivid, lively dream since I was a kiddo. I even remember certain ones from years ago. For the past couple of years, I've been dreaming about homes and houses, all very different from each other. However, they all had such crystal clear details to them that if I were to walk into one of them tomorrow, I'd know where the bathroom was. The dream I'm writing into you today about happened about a year ago and has me a little stumped. It starts with me being home at my mom's house, sitting at the table at her house with the front door open when several people walk in, very random people from my past and present. When they're first there, we're all just kind of hanging out, chit-chatting. We make our way outside in the front yard. My old friend asks if I want to go for a little hike in the woods by my house with them. I decided to stop having contact with these friends because of the poor life choices she was making. I didn't want to be around that type of negativity. We started out on the hike walk into the woods that I've walked in a million times in my life. And as we were walking, one of the people I was with said, "Hey, Jackie, have you ever been to the museum that's out here?" I responded with, "I had no idea there was even one out here." So we kept walking, and eventually I saw it in the distance up a hill that I'd never seen before. We started walking up to it, and there was a small country farm-looking house that we walked through first. It was almost like it was the first exhibit or something of the museum. People were roaming around in it, going into the basement and up the stairs. People were very friendly, saying hello and smiling as they walked by me. We made our way outside, and there was a group of people hanging out in a circle. Couldn't make out what they were doing, but could see the circle very clearly. We finally make it to our final destination, which was a weird museum place, and all of a sudden, I see water in a dock. The dock we set up like they are when you go to the marina, just not a large one. There were two small sailboat-looking type boats tied up on either side of the part that we were walking on. This is the part that sticks out the most. One of the people I was with said, "Oh man, Jackie, you got to check out this boat. You're going to love it. It's legitimately an old pirate ship." So I walk on the boat and go down in it, and there was a small old room with one twin-size mattress in it with a little window over it. A small closet, just all wooden, were everywhere. I'd been in this room before. I'd absolutely been in that room before. I knew I was. And the feeling of knowing that room was so strong, I felt it physically while I slept. It was more than just dreaming at that point, it felt like. What makes it even more bizarre than that, though, was the smell. I could literally smell what that room smelled like for real, in real life, not just the dream world. Never ever experienced that before. If I were to smell that smell again, I'd know it. It was an old, almost sour smell. The dream went on. We walked around the inside of the actual museum place where we looked around at the stuff on the wall. Looked like the plaques that had been on the Boston Freedom Trail or down south when they explained what went on in that area during a certain date. We left, started back, saw the people sitting in the circle. They asked if I loved the boat, went back through the little farmhouse, and that's when the dream started to drift away. So what was going on at this point in your life? And since at this point in my life, it was really hard. I've had several tragic things happen over the past 6 years, including losing my brother, who was my everything, to suicide. I had what I called a functioning nervous breakdown about 2 years ago. I'm a single mom, so I had to lose my shit privately when my kiddo wasn't watching. At the time of the dream, I was finally getting a grip on my panic episodes I was having. That explains all the dreams I was having about the different houses and homes. This one felt almost supernatural, though. What questions do you have? I basically would love to hear what you think about it. Past life, supernatural? Why was it so prominent? Have you ever had a super strong smell in a dream? Those are the questions. Okay, so we're going to do a little connecting of dots here on this one. Museums. Let's talk about that first, because that seemed to be one of the things that was brought up initially in the dream. A lot of times when you have museums show up in a dream, it's something that's representing your life, your history, your past. And like you just said, you've gone through a lot of things, very difficult things in the last several years. And when that goes on, there's a lot of reflecting that goes on in your life. How did I get to this point? Why are these things happening to me? How do I make these things stop? Is life going to get better? But there's a lot of reflection that would be going on with yourself at that time. The sailboat part of the dream that's in the museum, docked at the museum. I think that's a key part, because what you're looking at here is keeping you intact. And that's where I think the smell part comes in and the familiarity comes in. That's where this is part of me. You are that boat and you're ready to sail on and get out of there and get away from these past things, these difficult times. But you want to stay true to yourself and who you are when moving out. So it's like you're taking a piece of the museum with you, but you're going out. You're wanting to leave. And I think that is what we have going on here. It's a lot of pieces of subconscious, pieces of your life, all kind of coming together, representing the past, representing hope for the future. And that's where you get the museum, you get the boat, you get the familiar smells. And I think that's where it all comes together. Have I ever smelled something in a dream and then woke up to it or recognized it? Yes, I have. It smells a very, very interesting and very powerful force, as you know. And I have had similar things before where you don't even realize what the smell was, or you just pick it up in the dream and you go, oh my God, I know exactly what that is. And it's something from a long, far away place and time. One that I can vividly remember that I will have sometimes in a dream is, and this is going to sound really silly and weird, but the elementary school I went to, the gym had a balcony in it. And in the balcony stairwells, there was a very distinct smell in there. It's, you know, it's one of gym, probably of sweat, of rubber, of basketballs, of, you know, it's kind of a gym-esque smell. But this one specific building, this one specific area, it was so distinct. Concrete was mixed in there. It's like all these elements of the building and what was going on in there. And the gym floor had carpet on when I was a child, too. So that also, you know, really helped for smell. But it was very, very distinct. And I have not smelled it since. Several years back, about 10 years back, I went and visited that school and I walked in the gym and I walked in the stairwell and bam, I smelled and I knew exactly what it was. But over the years, when you have those dreams about being back in school, I've walked into that corridor and in my mind, I could pick up that smell like it was yesterday. So yes, that certainly does happen. Thank you for writing in and sharing your dream with us here at the show. The phone number, again, is 1-800-606-7193 to call in your dream story, or you can write in on our website, dreamingradio.com. That's D-R-E-A-M-I-N-G radio.com. Let's go over to Diana. Diana writes in, hi, Tony. Recently sent in a story to your other podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, about what seemed to be a weird moment of precognition or perhaps bizarre coincidence involving my son several years ago. I mentioned I might send in some stories to this podcast about some dreams I've had over the years with similar tendencies. I often have the feeling that the moment I'm currently experiencing is something I've done before, perhaps something I've seen in a dream. One such instance when I was about 12 stands out in my memory because the dream and the events that followed were so vivid and they haunt me to this day. A bit of background first. When I was a kid, I went to a private school in a different country than we lived in. Often on Sundays after church, my parents would take me and my brother to open houses in the area near our school, which had some beautiful homes that are 100 plus years old. One night during this time, I had a dream about an old house. Remember, the exterior featured a very specific ornate Victorian style molding, and in the dream, I ended up in a small upstairs bedroom. The room had a slanted ceiling that made the space seem small and oppressive, small bed pushed against the wall, and to the right of the door, facing inside the room, a closet door. When the closet door opened, it first looked like a typical small closet in an old house, but quickly transformed into a portal-like open space. It seemed as if it would suck me in. I remember, as I often do when dreaming, realizing that I was not awake, but also realizing that I did not have the ability to scream, move, or otherwise pull myself out of that terror until my body woke up on its own. One Sunday after having this dream, and it's been over 20 years, so I don't remember how long after this happened, we went on one of our excursions to view an open house. The house was a typical two- or three-story Victorian-like, so many in the area. I sat on the road. We traveled daily to go to school. However, it was obstructed from view by heavy shrubbery, so its details were unknown to me until we stood in the front lawn. As we examined the exterior, a feeling of dread knotted in my stomach as my eyes fell upon the molding along the roofline of the house. Suddenly, I realized this was the house from the terrible dream. I don't remember much of walking through the house itself until we got to one of the bedrooms on the top floor. When we walked in, I felt the same dread as I was taken back into the dream. The bedroom was exactly the same, from the slanted ceiling to the placement of the little bed and, of course, the closet. Now, of course, when the closet door opened, there was no portal to hell beyond the door, but I couldn't breathe until we finally left that house. So what was going on in your life at the time you had this dream? I was in middle school, it says. That was a rough period of time for me. Been in school with the same group of kids 6 or 7 years at that point. Was not considered popular by any means. My home life was more or less calm at the time, but there was a lot of drama happening in the background that I wasn't fully aware of, mostly because I had pushed down memories of shit that had happened when I was a kid involving my mom. She was, is a drunk, and I dealt with much of the fallout throughout my childhood, but didn't really grasp what was going on until I was older and remembered things from when I was much younger. Questions? Don't know if I have any questions per se, but the idea of dreams coming true fascinates me. I've had other much less frightening dreams in the past that I might write in about as well that revealed future events to me as an adult. So I guess I'm curious about the ways that little bits of insight make themselves known in our dreams. Thank you, Diana. Good question, and obviously something we kind of talked about earlier in the show with our first caller, Heather, talking about the premonition that she had of the work that she was going to be doing and some of the settings that she was going to be doing it in. It's like I said earlier, I think sometimes these things, when they occur and they actually come to some sort of fruition, I think they can be taken one of two ways, and it's really up for the user to decide what it is. Either it's a sign of you're on a path that's correct, or it's a warning. And I'm wondering if there is some sort of warning going on here with this dream. Thanks for writing in and sharing that with us here at Dream Meetings. Our phone number, again, is 1-800-606-7193. Call in, share your dream with us. Or, of course, you can also write in through the website at dreamingradio.com. We would love to hear your dream and talk about it on a future episode of the program. There you go. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Dream Meanings. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for subscribing to the show if you've done that. If not, please do help us grow this thing and allow us to keep making the episodes. And of course, submit your dreams. That's what we need more than anything to continue doing this thing, is your dreams to talk about, to share, to discuss on future episodes of the program. Like I said, dreamingradio.com is our website. The phone number again, 800-606-7193. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening to another episode of Dream Meanings. I'm Tony Bruschi.